Hello, my friends. I'm Bill McLaughlin. Welcome to St. Paul Sunday.
St. Paul Sunday is produced by Minnesota Public Radio and made possible by a major grant from the Minnesota-based General Mills Foundation, supporting excellence in education, human services, and the arts. Additional funding has been provided by the National Endowment for the Arts and by this Public Radio International station. Join us today with our guests, the St. Lawrence String Quartet.
Well, this is a visit to which I've been looking forward to for quite some time. I have a lot of very good musician friends who are terrific fans of the St. Lawrence String Quartet, and it's great to have the four of you here with us in the studio. Let me introduce the players. Our first violinist is Jeff Nuttall.
Hello.
Our second violinist, Barry Schiffman.
Hey, Bill.
Violist is Leslie Robertson.
Hello.
And Marina Hoover is the cello player.
Hi, glad to be here.
Yeah. Let's get straight to this program, because it's a wonderful program that moves from music of Joseph Haydn, is pretty much the father of the string quartet, through a quartet of Schumann, one of the three he wrote in the summer of 1842, to one of the 15 quartets of Dmitri Shostakovich. So it gives us a terrific sampling of your styles. We'll hear now just the first movement of the quartet in D major of Haydn. This is Opus 76, number 5, the first movement marked Allegretto. It's a piece in 6-8. St. Lawrence String Quartet playing music of Joseph Haydn.
Thank you.
This was music of Franz Joseph Haydn. We've just heard the St. Lawrence String Quartet play with tremendous brio. The first movement of the quartet in D major, Opus 76, number 5. It's fun hearing these young musicians play in the live because I've heard some recordings and some tapes before, but this is the first time I've actually had a chance to hear them. It's wonderful energy you bring to this music, and it brings to mind for me the question of what Beethoven felt like in 1797 when he first heard this piece of his one-time teacher, Joseph Haydn. There's Beethoven trying to make his own quartets. He's just starting now. The Opus 18 quartets come between now and the turn of the century. What can he have thought of? Here's this old man who's very nice to him, very fatherly, and writes music like a god. How can that have affected the young Beethoven?
Well, I think it probably scared him to death. I think Haydn's genius was really quite overwhelming for him, and that's one of the reasons he didn't really write quartets. I mean, he started with string trios. He was so nervous, he felt the power of Haydn above his head.
Yeah.
And he didn't write any quartets till the Opus 18 set, which was, you know, 1801. So people don't really, they forget that how inspirational a figure and how powerful a figure Haydn was. And really starting, I mean, it doesn't get any better than that.
Right.
But especially, as you say, Beethoven was, I mean, he was terrified in a sense of trying to follow in the footsteps of Haydn.
Haydn is like the explorer Captain Cook, always tremendous, even in this piece here. Mm-hmm. It's a relatively deceptive piece, which you just played, this little gentle sort of 6/8 rocking rhythm. And immediately the cello takes it into D minor, and then who knows where you go? He's always exploring new territory.
Yeah, he was a real character.
Let's take a moment to identify ourselves for anyone who's tuned in the last couple of minutes. We're making this program with the St. Lawrence String Quartet today. I'm Bill McLaughlin, and you're tuned to St. Paul Sunday. The St. Lawrence String Quartet has just started a new set of recordings with the EMI label. First of all, I think that's a wonderful label to be with. You must be excited about the project.
Yeah, we sure are.
And they about you. For your first project, you took on the Schumann Quartets, Opus 41. How did you choose those?
With a great deal of thought and consideration. Yes. We wanted to find music that wasn't particularly recorded a lot, and also music that we could feel very close to in a very individualistic way. And throughout the course of the years, I think we really bonded with Schumann in terms of emotional expression and diversity and the overall freneticism and the overall love he has for his wife through his music and our sort of love for the sonorities of Schumann. And I think we've come to terms with this is the composer we could record and feel very comfortable about it.
You know, for me, in certain ways, Schumann is the romantic composer. And I say that knowing full well that there are composers of his own age, like Chopin and Mendelssohn and Wagner and Verdi, pretty much the same age. Liszt. Later is going to come, Bruckner and Mahler and Strauss and Brahms. But still, there's a quality in Schumann's music that's so rhapsodic. And we hear it right away at the beginning of this quartet. We're going to play now the third of his three quartets from the summer of 1842. Listen to a little bit of the opening, if you four will indulge me. Yeah. This is a beautiful, slow introduction, which is quite unlike anything of slow introductions in Beethoven or Haydn or Mozart. Mm-hmm. Listen to this, and we'll take it as far as the Allegro, just this opening of the quartet. The whole quartet in a minute, but that opening falling fifth that Jeff is playing on the first part, would you play just that F sharp B? We'll hear it again and again. Sort of unites the whole piece. And one of the things that Schumann is doing that's very different from the composers before him is he's trying to find a way to make a whole multi-movement piece hang together by using some of the same thematic material. It's a fancy way of saying it's like cutting the music from a certain cloth. It has a certain texture or color that's the same.
Yeah.
Let's hear this piece. This is on your new recording. The St. Lawrence String Quartet has the recording of the first and third Schumann quartets. We're going to hear now the quartet in A major, Opus 41, number 3. All three of these quartets were written in 6 weeks in the summer of 1842. Here's St. Lawrence playing Schumann.
Thank you.
Wild Dance, that finale is. This is music of Robert Schumann, the third of his three quartets, Opus 41. We've just heard the A major quartet, played wonderfully well by the St. Lawrence String Quartet, which has just released a recording of the first and third of these quartets on the EMI level. I'm wondering what sort of challenges and opportunities the quartets of Schumann present to a quartet like yourself. One of the problems I know with Schumann's orchestral work sometimes is that you have to be very careful that the colors emerge. You almost have the feeling some of the time that it's piano music written for orchestra. I didn't feel this at all when you were playing the quartet now.
I think one of the strongest, you mentioned something that's just right on the money, the idea of it being very pianistic. You hear it a lot in this piece, you hear it a lot also in the first of the quartets.
Mm.
And when you sort of embrace those weird piano writing things that he does, like broken thirds and this pianistic rubato that really is possible either when you're playing alone or when you have the luxury of a string quartet that can rehearse, when it's our life and we can spend the time to figure out the type of rubato that we want. It essentially means rob time, where you, mm-hmm. you steal from one beat and you give to another beat. So there's a sense of freedom in this music that that really makes it come alive.
You know what I love? There's in the slow bump, there's something that's just miraculous. I won't get you guys to play it again because it's a long section, but Barry, you set up a dotted eighth. Play a little.
Kind of heartbeat.
Can we hear a little of this? I just love it. You know that spot? And then the first violin plays a fourth and the viola answers. That's so magical when that happens. Yeah, just a little of this. It's so deeply romantic, the music. I love hearing the four of you play. You really have a wonderful voice.
We're thrilled that you're so into this piece because, like we said earlier, it's not often greeted with the type of enthusiasm that we definitely feel it deserves.
Yeah.
It's the sort of thing, you know, if you have a chamber music reading party and you take a whole stack of quartets and you read ones of Mozart and ones of Haydn, and they read really easily and beautifully, and not to say that they're easy quartets, but there's an ease in composition. And then you put the Schumann quartet on without having rehearsed it, and it looks like nothing. It just falls flat without the real luxury of being able to figure this stuff out. So I think that's why I'm convinced that, you know, on first reading, the piece doesn't necessarily come off the page that easily. But the more you put in, the more you get back with this music.
Oh, the impression you just made was terrific. And I can't wait to hear the other one that you've recorded as well, the first of the set. We should turn now, before we run out of time, to we have just one movement of a work of Shostakovich. Shostakovich was a little late in coming to the quartet, too. We talked about Beethoven taking until the time he was nearly 30. With Shostakovich, I think the first quartet doesn't come until 1935. He's born in 1906, to give you an idea. And he was already in hot water with Stalin. The opera Lady Macbeth had been given terrible reviews in Pravda. It looked like he might get sent to the camps. And it was right around that time that he wrote the Fifth Symphony, but also the first quartet. The piece that you've chosen now comes just after the war. As once he got into the swing of it, he went like crazy. There's a quartet from 44, the one from 46. And in fact, he wrote, 15 quartets mm-hmm. right up into the year before he died in 1974. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about this music, because I think sometimes when I hear Shostakovich quartets that have something to do with the Second World War, I wonder who the real enemy is. Was it fascism? Was it Hitler? Or was it the people he was fighting with in his own country? There's a kind of irony in his music that I can never quite resolve that way. And this particular movement, I think, is filled with that.
Yeah, I think it's a good point. You know, the famous Eighth Quartet, of course, was dedicated to the victims of fascism, of course. And that's very murky as to who he's attacking there.
Yeah.
But this, I think, is a little more clearly a cry, an outcry for his people. I mean, Russia, obviously I wasn't there, but I'm sure it was a nasty time to be living in Russia during the war with the German invasion.
Tremendously.
It must have been remarkably difficult. And this quartet is basically, although it's not programmatic in the sense of Till Eulenspiegel, in his writings later, there are headings for each movement, and when he describes specifically what's going on.
Really?
And this movement that we're going to play is actually depicting the German troops trampling across his country and just obliterating everything in their path. So even though it's not purely programmatic, you get a sense that that's what he was trying to get across in this movement. And the other ones sort of run the gamut from pure pain of the friends that he lost to almost cheesy irony in the first movement with the... It's a remarkable quartet, and actually, if anybody has a chance, it does reward listening to the whole piece to get a sense of the voyage that he takes us on.
Well, you can come back and play the rest of it. Unfortunately, we have time for only the middle of the five movements now. This is the third movement, a scherzo, and a funny kind of arrangement of 2-4 and 3-4 going back and forth. Here's music of Dmitri Shostakovich, the quartet number 3 in F major. We're hearing a movement actually in G sharp minor. This is music composed right after the war in 1946, the St. Lawrence String Quartet. Thank you. that music really takes your breath away. That happens to me all the time with Shostakovich, whether it's festive, which it rarely is, or ironic or tragic. This is Shostakovich's quartet in number 3 in F major. We heard the middle movement, the scherzo played by the St. Lawrence String Quartet. Yeah. Thank God it's the end of the radio show, because he doesn't leave you much to say.
When clubbed over the head.
It is a brutal piece, but there's a funny kind of exhilaration in listening to that music. It seemed to be for the bunch of you playing. There's a great viola lick that you're into, and you seem to be just literally just tearing into it, enjoying it.
You know, it's funny. It may represent the Germans invading Russia, but it also has that underlying current of, yes, Russia will succeed in the end.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Maybe that's part of what we're feeling. Also, he's so good at writing this kind of music that there's that kind of excitement about it, too. This young quartet, the St. Lawrence String Quartet, is lots of fun to watch. I mean, they're wonderful to listen to, and that's how I've known them up until today's program. But there's a visceral quality to your play, almost a physical quality that's fun to watch, too. And part of the reason I'm getting onto this is the four of us, five of us, if you count me, we're going up into the North Woods of Minnesota tomorrow, and we're for a couple of days going to spend some time with the school kids there.
It really is a remarkable transformation we find when we get sit young kids down in a forced way 10 feet from us and play live music.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to have a lot more of a positive effect, or even just to get them stirred up, than listening at home to dad's stereo or the car radio.
Yeah.
So that should be fun, yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. And folks, if you'd like to hear the St. Lawrence String Quartet, we can help you find their recordings. One of the ways to get to it is to check out the St. Paul Sunday website, which will link to the webpage from the St. Lawrence Quartet. You can point your browser to us at www.sunday.mpr.org. And just to make that clear, that's sunday.m as in Minnesota, PR.org. And we'll help you find more about the St. Lawrence String Quartet and all the other ensembles that are on the show. We should be a time to hear more music, but I can only ask right now that the four of you come back and play some again. You know, it was a wonderful
program.
Thanks
for having us. Thanks very much.
Started with Haydn. We had a great Schumann quartet. Now this wild piece of Shostakovich at the end. Let me take a moment to say goodbye to my new friends now, the St. Lawrence String Quartet. Our first violinist is Jeff Nuttall. It's great to meet you and hear you. Barry Schiffman is our second violinist.
Thanks, Bill. Pleasure.
And rather reserved and quiet, but wonderful playing young pair of ladies here. Leslie Robertson played the viola. It was great to meet you and hear you. And
thanks.
Marina Hoover playing the cello. And that's all the time we have for this show this week. Drop us a line, folks, and let us know how you like it. If you have email, you can reach us at sunday@mpr.org. That's, again, M as Minnesota, PR.org. Or by regular postal mail, St. Paul Sunday, care of Minnesota Public Radio, St. Paul, Minnesota, 55101. Well, folks, that's our show for this week. Hope you enjoyed it. Make sure to stay tuned for all the wonderful programming coming up on this public radio station, and make sure to tune in next Sunday when we're back here with St. Paul Sunday.
St. Paul Sunday is made possible by a major grant from the Minnesota-based General Mills Foundation, supporting excellence in education, human services, and the arts. Additional funding has been provided by the National Endowment for the Arts and by this Public Radio International station. St. Paul Sunday is produced by Minnesota Public Radio in the Maude Moon Weyerhaeuser Music Studio. Your host for the series is Bill McLaughlin. The producer is Mary Lee. The music producer is Vaughn Ormsepp. The engineer is Alan Strickland, and the assistant engineer is Scott Liebers. The St. Paul Sunday website is produced by Nancy Blakestead. This is Marianne Sullivan.
Listening to the music of Sergei Rachmaninoff as performed by David Finkel and Wu Han, one of the selections on St. Paul Sunday's newest compact disc, Mixed Company. Visit our website at stpaulsunday.org to order your copy of Mixed Company, Music for St. Paul Sunday. This recording includes performances of Gil Shaham, the Emerson String Quartet, and many more, all recorded for this program and many not available elsewhere. And don't forget, your purchase of this recording helps support your station and St. Paul Sunday. Order your copy of Mixed Company from the St. Paul Sunday website, stpaulsunday.org.
PRI, Public Radio International.